the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to episode 207 of this here Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy, Doomsday 519. Back at it again, like I always am. And of course, my tag team partner in this venture of ours is the man hailing from the west side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay!
Oh yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. It's been going down last weekend, this week, this weekend, so definitely worthwhile. So we're gonna pass it off to Westside, and he's gonna talk about the shows of the weekend.
Not too many shows to talk about, since there doesn't appear to be a new Powerbomb show until next Friday, so we'll worry about that next week. Apparently, AIW has an event, and like, I'm not even going to try to go through their website, because I don't know the last time they posted anything on their website. First of all, I guess a good get well to John Thorne of AIW. He's currently battling pneumonia, so he's not actually going to be there for the show. It's happening. So, yeah. All right, this Friday show, you will be able to meet the real Godfather. Not the fake Godfather. The real Godfather. He will be there. Unless he pulls a Sid Vicious and does not show up.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, I was listening to the, I said that Colt Cabana's podcast, Dara Wrestling's changed format, so he was doing clips from his WrestleCon, and he was talking about how he hollered at Sid Vicious at WrestleCon, asking him where he was, and AIW wants their money back. it was an okay episode, him talking to a few guys. Though the bit with him in One Man Gang was interesting. Because he said when he read One Man Gang, he didn't think One Man Gang knew him because he introduced himself. And then when he found out he did, he actually ran over with the recorder to talk to him.
Nice.
But, and I guess he did a keynote because there was another convention at where they were. So High Spots asked him to do a keynote at this young business person, people's thing.
Yeah,
so
he did 15 minutes like talking. I saw like a funny, like, picture, or was it a video of like him, and it looked like there was like a whole bunch of like young girls and like they
yeah
were all of him or something like that. It was really interesting.
Yeah, apparently he said he thought it went over pretty well, so yeah, I mean it looked like it did. Alright, let's see, we got a few matches here. We got Eddie Only versus PB Smooth. I don't know who either of them we have MJF, the new CZW Heavyweight Champion. He just beat Ricky Shane Page.
Oh, yeah.
And after he won the title, technically he hands over the Wired belt. And I guess, I don't know if you saw, but Rich Swann competed at that show.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. And I don't know if I don't know if I really want to talk about this, but I guess he DM'd that the woman that Elgin's been having the thing with.
Yeah.
I guess she had said something about him and his wife, Sue Young, mm-hmm. and he DM'd her to tell her to stop talking about them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, MJF taking on Lewis Linden. Yeah, I don't know why. I guess I felt like, I didn't want to point that out, but I figured if I'm going to mention Rich Swann, I'd mention that was kind of a dumb move.
Yeah.
All right. So MJF versus Lewis Linden. Then we got a Dream Partner tag team match as Nick Gage and Mystery Partner versus Hot Sauce Tracy Williams and Mystery Partner. I believe the show is called Gangsta Party. Also, we have Josh Prohibition.
Ain't nothing but a gangsta party.
Ain't nothing but a gangsta party. Josh Prohibition and To Infinity and Beyond versus and two other people versus a stable known as No Consequences, I guess. I don't know who the hell is in AIW, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
All Ego, Ethan Page versus Matthew Justice. And that appears that all I have for them. Now let's hope I can figure out PWG's that they did their thing in actual order of the days. Because this weekend should be All-Star Weekend and is the last shows in Reseda now that they've upgraded to a bigger venue.
Have they given a reason why they decided to get out of Reseda?
I guess tickets. They oversold the tickets. I guess they decided there was enough demand that they should move up to a venue that had more people and more seats available. All right, I'm going to have to read this from bottom to top twice so I can do all the nights in order. So night one, Trevor Lee versus Ray Horace. All right, night one, Robbie Eagles, husband of the awesome, or brother-in-law, I don't know. He's related, how he's related, but, you know, he's part of the Eagles clan in Australia with Madison Eagles.
Oh, okay.
I think Robbie Eagles has wrestled once in the States for Chikara, like a few years ago, well, like 7 or 8 years ago, actually.
Huh.
But yeah, he makes his PWG debut to take on Flash Morgan Webster and Sammy Guevara in a three-way on night one. Night one has Joey Janela versus Jonah Rock. Tyler Bateman makes his PWG debut as Violence Unlimited with Brody King take on Rain Camp of Timothy Thatcher and Walter. Here we go. This one's pretty good. Taiji Ishimori, who recently left NOAH as a contract wrestler, makes his PWG debut against Bandido.
Hold up, so he's not in NOAH anymore. Wow, because he's been in NOAH since I've known about him.
Yeah, I think with his recent run of matches in TNA and seeing some of the success of Nakamura, and to a lesser extent of Tommy, he probably was like, you know what, I'm going to go freelance and start working in the States.
Nice.
So, yeah. Hangman, but not listed as Hangman, Adam Page makes his PWG debut against Keith Lee in a non-title match on night one. And the night one main event, the Young Bucks versus the Rascals, Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz, versus Chosen Bros, Jeff Cobb and Matthew Riddle, in a three-way match for the PWG World Tag Team titles. Now, going back down and trying to do night two. All right. Night two, Bandido faces Ray Horace. We have Robbie Eagles faces Joey Janela. Trevor Lee versus Flash Morgan Webster. The Rascals take on Violence Unlimited. Sammy Guevara takes on Taji Ishimori. Matthew Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher. And then night two main event, Keith Lee defends the title against Jonah Rock versus Walter in a three-way title match for the PWG title. That's too many big guys in the same
room. Yeah, that's the thick boys. That's the thick boys.
Yeah, that is a pretty insane grouping of wrestlers. Okay, now to I already got these ones up, so I can just do it from here. No, maybe I don't. All right, and then I'm just going to do the two New Japan shows that we have. Because and those shows aren't until Monday and Tuesday, because New Japan is nice enough not to be putting too much up for us post-WrestleMania. Thank you. And also because technically, later in May, we start, of course, Best of the Super Junior, so we're going to be getting hit with shows several times a week. But if you have the New Japan website, they put up a bunch of the matches from WrestleCon weekend, including the Ring of Honor matches, and they also put up apparently some of the Rev Pro matches, and I think one or two of the WrestleCon matches too.
Oh, I gotta go back and check that out then.
Yeah, I did watch Kenny Omega versus Cody. It was a fine match, but it was more about the story than it was about the actual wrestling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of it was a story match. It was pretty good, and it was interesting to see Cody hit a vertebraker, which some people got shit for because he was joking like he invented it because you know he's a heel, right?
Yeah.
People, somebody was like, "Yeah, Shane Helms invented that." I was like, No, he didn't. Megumi Kudo did. Calm the fuck down. But yeah. So, I need to watch the Hangman Page Kota Ibushi match. He said that one was really good. The best of the show that night. Alright. So here we go. Monday, April 23rd, coming from Corrigan Hall. We open up with Ren Narita taking on one of the newer Young Lions, Yota Tsuji. We have a six-man, Nakanishi, Nagata, and Tenzin taking on the Young Lions pack of Tetsuhiro Yagi, Shota Umino, and Tomoyuki Ota. Then we have Sho Yo and Rocky Romero taking on Takamichi Noku, Taichi, and Izuka, which apparently they've been doing through a lot of this tour. A big 5-versus-5 chaos match with Kushida, Juice Robinson, Togi Makabe. I guess I said his name earlier, so I'll say it again. Elgin and Toa Hanare taking on Chaos. And on one of the shows that wasn't filmed, Toa Hanare actually jumped out towards the end of a Chaos match and jumped Ishii. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they've been booking a lot of Hanare and whoever versus Ishii and Yano. And Hanare and Ishii just go at it. Right? And Ishii beating him up. But they got literally Hanare attacking Ishii after a show now, so I'm actually hoping they get the one-on-one soon, because Hanare doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care how badass Ishii is, so expect some more of that going down. We have a six-man, Taguchi Japan, team of Taguchi, Finlay, and Tanahashi taking on Ghetto, Jay White, and Okada. We have this thing's billed as a special six-man match. It's just part of LIJ, Sonata, Evil, and Naito taking on KES and Suzuki. But the main event of the show is the Junior IWGP Tag Team Championship match as the challenger team from Los Ingobernables de Japón, whose tag name I keep screwing up, but it's Hiromu Takahashi and Ibushi challenging El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. That is the Monday show. Tuesday show, we do Tetsuhiro Yagi versus Ren Narita. Shoto Umino teams with Tenzin to take on Tomoyuki Aoka and Yuji Nagata. Once again, that show, Yo, Rocky Romero versus those Suzuki-gun guys from the night day before. Eight-man, Kushida, Hanare, Elgin, Makabe versus Chaos team. Then the whole LIJ versus a portion of the Suzuki-gun. Oh, yeah, I guess we could say it. LIJ is going to be on the War of the Worlds tour in May. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, six-man match, Taguchi, Robinson, and Tanahashi versus Ghetto, Goto, and Okada. And in the main event of that show is the seventh IWGP U.S. Heavyweight title match as David Finlay challenges Jay White. And I think that's pretty much the only matches that really... those ones are going to be actually filmed and aired. I know there's a Goto Juice Robinson match coming up, but I think that won't be till the end of next week, maybe. Because there's a lot of shows listed here. Yeah, I think that one's going to end up being the Sunday, so I'll do that next weekend. I mean, next show. All right, so that's it for shows of the weekend. So now we can start talking about, I guess, Superstar Shakeup, maybe?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Let me
just very intently here. On Twitter.
I actually watched most of Raw. Most of Raw. And I watched all of SmackDown like a few hours after, so. But yeah, Raw happened. Basically, to break it down, Jinder Mahal was the first person traded to Raw. He talked his bullshit, and Kurt Angle gave him a challenger to face for the U.S. title. Lo and behold, it ended up being Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy actually wins the title. So Jinder Mahal goes to Raw and loses his title immediately.
As God intended.
Yeah, what God intended. after that, No Way Jose was doing his conga line and shit, while Jinder Mahal was getting interviewed by Renee Young and took Ray Young on the conga line with him, so they may end up having him feud with him for a little bit, I guess. After that, there was Bayley versus Sasha, which started off as a pretty good match, but out of nowhere, you end up seeing a whole bunch of the Riot Squad beat up both of them, and ends in a no contest. And it's announced that the whole Riot Squad has been traded to Raw. After that, authors are paying Squashed Rhino and Heath Slater once again. One thing I do have to note is that Authors of Pain need to change their fucking finisher. That last,
I forget what their finisher is.
It's a Russian leg sweep clothesline lariat shit. It's the combination Russian leg sweep lariat, and it just doesn't look good. Every time they do it, like, they could
probably... That's kind of sad, because Goto and Shibata had something similar, and it looked pretty good when they did it. But I guess Shibata did more of the STO takedown, running STO takedown into it.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Shibata and Goto, so I guess there should be a comparison.
Yeah. After that, Miz TV went down, and Miz introduced the newest signees to Raw, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They got
I saw clips of that, and I was like, this is going to be the greatest stable ever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, oh, wait, because Kurt Angle wasn't having it, and he was like, all right, as per request from Daniel Bryan, you're moved to SmackDown. So, he got taken to SmackDown, and they announced a five-on-five to end his tenure on Raw, so that would be the main event. But
it shows you how important that is that way he keeps sort of moving brands.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess maybe they're moving some top heels over to Raw, so they like, we need a new top heel for SmackDown.
Yeah. They should have got rid of Randy Orton, but that's just me.
Well, we can all just imagine Randy Orton stop being wherever.
Yeah. After that, the Eliminator, for the vacant tag team championships, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus the Revival. Revival took yet another L, and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are gunning for the tag titles. And after that went down, Breezango popped up and served the bar with fashion citations or whatever. So they are one of the new tag teams. Another addition to Raw was Natalya, who happens to be a friend of Ronda Rousey. We'll see
how. Maybe they'll actually do something with her.
Yeah, basically. Well, I think what they're saying is that Natalya is basically going to be there to help Ronda, like, really get her footing in, you know? That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I think she helped her with some in-ring training, because, I mean, obviously as an MMA fighter, she can legit fight, but wrestling is performance art.
Yeah, right.
Despite what people keep bitching about protecting the sport.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
And I get pissed off when they do that on fucking Twitter. How the hell do you protect the damn sport on Twitter? Delete. Motherfuckers. Yeah, alright. Sorry.
Alright. Yeah, after that, Ember Moon faces Mickey James in a pretty good match. End of the match had Ember Moon hit Mickey James with the Eclipse, and that was probably the greatest sell of that move ever, because Mickey James just, like, did, like, a fucking front flip as she took the stunner. very interesting, because I guess it makes sense because of the momentum of the move, so it worked.
Yeah, it was a great gimpable moment, and that gimp was getting traded pretty quickly when it happened.
Yeah. After that, Dolph Ziggler came out, and he ended up being the next guy who was part of the shakeup. He talked about shit being different, and then Titus and Apollo and what's her name, Dana Brooke came out, and they tried to recruit him to Titus Worldwide. He wasn't having it, and then out of the blue, Drew McIntyre appears, attacks Apollo and Titus, and they hit this combination of zigzag and claymore, which was freaking fantastic. Poor Apollo.
Yeah, and poor McIntyre for being booked with Dolph, because Dolph is just it's a wasteland of a wrestler.
He is what you'd call a black hole.
Yeah, hopefully he could McIntyre escape that, because that guy got more swole than he used to be. I still can't get over the fact he freaking deadlift Andrade into a powerbomb that one time.
Oh, yeah.
Andrade looked like a child next to him.
And then after that, there was a confrontation with Joe and Roman Reigns that I didn't really care for, because it was basically a rehash of what they did last week. Mandy Rose faced Natalya, but then Natalya ended up getting attacked by Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose after the match, but Ronda came out and made the save for her. After that, Breezango faced the Bar, and Breezango actually won the match. Shocker.
Breezango should win more matches.
Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully this move is very good for him. Elias was backstage, and there was no time for him to actually do any serenading. But it looks like he may end up feuding with Bobby Lashley for a little while. I don't know. But then the main event happened with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Miz, Curtis Axel, and Bo Dallas versus Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, and the mystery partner in Bobby Roode. And of course, ladder team ended up winning the match.
I just want to point out that they got rid of two guys that Randy Orton had no chemistry with whatsoever in wrestling.
Yeah, basically. And before the match ended, the Miztourage basically abandoned the Miz. Since he got traded, they had no use for it. Like, he wasn't of any use for them anyway. So that's when he got leveled and lost the match. So it was a fun way to go for Miz. Fun. So, yeah, there was some dope.
I predict him being the whatever the SmackDown was, that world champion. I predict him to be the world champion by the end of the year.
Oh yeah,
maybe early next year.
Yeah,
I mean, we got to get that WrestleMania Miz Daniel Bryan moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Anyway, but do you think they're gonna have that Miz Daniel Bryan like feud, like, be a SummerSlam thing, or are they going to try to drag this all the way out to WrestleMania?
It depends on what goes on with Big Cass. And I know that's a bit of a jump in the head.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see Big Cass and Bryan feud. I'm pretty sure Bryan will make it work.
See,
but the little I see of Cass as a singles wrestler, he's kind of slow and proddy.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the strength and power, but...
And then he's probably going to be even more slow because of the knee injury.
Yeah. It's it's going to be a interesting workaround. Yeah. I mean, Bryan is bursting with energy. And he's had basically 2 years, three years about of not working. So, I mean, he's ready to fucking explode on motherfuckers.
Right.
I don't think Big Cass can keep up with him. I mean, they were going to put a big guy in there. Yeah. I'm sure there have been other big guys, better choice. But, I mean, if I was booking this, I mean, I could probably see them not being too high on, like, a world title match between him and Miz just because of Daniel Bryan's series of injuries. And maybe if they got, if they moved Seth Rollins to the main title picture and had Miz pick the IC title back, I could see them feuding over that. But, yeah, I think SummerSlam would probably be the best option. But I can see them going all, at least all the way to WrestleMania if they plan it right.
Okay.
But it's WWE and Road Dogg, so we don't know how this is going to work, and we don't know what's going to work when they bring in El Idolo on the show.
El Idolo. El Idolo.
Yeah, right. Lucha Twitter has made a formal pact to watch SmackDown.
Yeah. But yeah, like, okay, so SmackDown went down. There was a whole bunch of shit with AJ and Nakamura. Well, talking about Nakamura. But Rusev came out and they had a match. But that match ended up in a DQ because, of course, Aiden English interfered like he's been doing. After that, Shelton Benjamin came out. And he talked about how he was happy for Chad Gable. He tweeted that he was happy for Chad Gable online, but then he said that that was a lie. He was hacked, and to be honest, he's happy. He's happy. He's gone just for the fact that he can be his own man. Blah blah blah. And he issued a challenge to anybody out in the back.
Oh, by the way, that hacker apparently was BLM.
Of course.
She straight said, yeah, I hacked you.
Yeah. But, he had a challenge that came out, and Randy Orton answered. But then Jeff Hardy's music hit. And Jeff Hardy came out, walked right by Randy Orton, and challenged him to a match. So the U.S. title stays on SmackDown. It was only on Raw for one night. But
how happy was everybody when they're like, oh god, Randy Orton, whoa, hey,
yeah. I was like, come on,
this tired old Jeff Hardy still, yeah, more exciting.
Yeah, but somebody noted that Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin have battled before for the U.S. title like 10 years ago. Pretty interesting. That was back then when he was dyeing his hair gold, and he was the gold standard. But yeah, Jeff Hardy ended up winning the match. One thing to note of Jeff Hardy, I think he has a court date next month. Yeah, he has a court date next month. And Jeff Hardy is he was a Grand Slam champion in the original format of the Grand Slam champion. But now he's a Grand Slam champion in the modern format. So now he's technically a double Grand Slam champion. Yeah. Jeff Hardy.
Good on him.
Yeah. But then after that,
for Randy Orton, too. Fuck, yep. Randy Orton. Just going to keep shitting on Randy Orton.
Yeah, fuck him. But yeah, after that, there was a video package. Well, not a video package. It was Miz on his camera phone, and I guess he sent it to the WWE, saying that he would not be on SmackDown. He wanted his grand entrance to be spectacular, awesome, whatever. So, and he didn't want it to be muddled by all the other people joining SmackDown, so he will be back next week. After that, Jey Uso faced Harper. Harper ended up winning the match, but of course the Bludgeon Brothers wanted to continue destroying the Usos, so they beat the shit out of him for a while until Naomi came made the save for them.
And Harper made one of the rare tweets that doesn't involve the day and knowing what time it is because of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He actually said something about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I think Harper got hacked.
Oh, did he? Hold up. Did he tweet any rap lyrics?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
He said something. Something about he referred to her as Trent.
Oh, okay.
But he said something about her protecting her his man.
Yeah.
Or look after your man, Trent. I think something like that.
Oh. Yeah, but
I keep forgetting I follow Luke Harper until every day where he's like, it's Monday. You know what that means.
And it's always some rap lyric attached to it for some reason.
Oh, so there's an attachment. I never noticed.
Yeah, there's always part. That's always part of the caption, dude. Like the tweets.
Whenever I look at it, it just comes up as you know whatever that is.
He always has like some rap. Like I think there's like at least three of the tweets he's posted in a row were like some rap lyric. It was weird. It was funny, but it was weird. But anyway, after that, they had announced that Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are now part of SmackDown, which is interesting because Paige is now the GM for SmackDown. Let's see what she does if she gives them special attention or whatever, but I don't know. What else?
So far, Absolution's probably done more than the Riot Squad simply because they were in the Elimination Chamber.
Right, right.
Other than that, I don't think either group has really accomplished much of anything. I said a couple weeks ago they just felt like they were filler wrestlers until the Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah, basically. After that, Sin Cara was in the ring, and then out of nowhere, Samoa Joe's music hits. So, his music hits, he comes down, it's Samoa Joe versus Sin Cara. Of course, Samoa Joe wins with the Coquina Clutch. And he gets on the mic and talks his shit about Roman Reigns and that he's still going to beat his ass or whatever. And then take whatever he can from Raw to SmackDown and blah, blah, blah. And then after that, Renee Young did an interview with Daniel Bryan, and out of nowhere, Big Cass comes. He's looking straight forward. He's talking. He moves his hand up, and he moves his hand down to pat Daniel Bryan on the head, indicating how fucking short he is. And he walked away. After that, Carmella has a Mellabration. And she talks her shit about how no one's believed in her, and how she made it despite everything, and blah, blah, blah. Had the video packages of all that stuff, but then Charlotte comes out, basically berates her, saying that, yeah, the reason that you've gotten everything that you have is because of other people. Look at Money in the Bank. It's because of James Ellsworth that you won that. Look at her victory last week. It's because of Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. After that, there's some little fight that breaks out, but it ends up in a Charlotte Flair versus Billy Kay match, which is pretty decent. But of course, Charlotte Flair wins with the figure eight.
I like Charlotte a lot, but they're pushing her too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, she's won all her WrestleMania appearances. She doesn't need... You need to stop having her bury women.
Oh, no. Hers is the new streak. Her WrestleMania streak's gonna be the new WrestleMania streak.
And I have no problem with that. She just doesn't need to win against debuting wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even Alexa Bliss took the fall for fucking Ember Moon, and they hated having her get pinned by anybody a while.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, they started beating down on Charlotte and Becky Lynch, all three, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce and Carmella, but out of nowhere, you hear Asuka's music. She has been transferred to SmackDown, and she came and made the save for Charlotte and Becky Lynch. After that, they also announced that Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson are also part of SmackDown, so the SmackDown's tag team division's even beefier. Then they announced that Sheamus and Cesaro are also part of SmackDown, which is even beefier.
Yeah, but how long does Sheamus have until he has to retire?
Yeah, that's gonna be a shame. I don't know, but
all this means is that sooner or later we're gonna be getting a Cesaro singles run, yeah. Or they'll try to find another tag team partner for Cesaro because they love teaming him up.
They love teaming him, yeah. After that, there was a backstage segment with the New Day. They end up finding R-Truth randomly. They give him dap. Ty Dillinger shows up, and it seemed like it's gonna get serious. But then out of nowhere, they start doing this super long secret handshake between him and R-Truth, and then he talks about seeing them on Monday Night Raw, and they're like, "Yo, this is SmackDown." And he just walks away. After that, they also announced that Sanity is part of SmackDown, sans Nikki Cross. So basically, it's only Eric Young, Killian Dane, and Alexander Wolfe. I like Sanity, but part of their appeal was the X Factor of Nikki Cross interfering in shit.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's...
But it makes sense that she stayed back, because if you look at the women's division of NXT, there's no legitimate women to go against Shayna Baszler besides her and Kairi Sane.
Well, it wouldn't have been that much of a trouble if, A, they would have done something with Abby Leif, B, they would have signed Mia Yim, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Or so, Mercedes Martinez. Yeah. I mean, and those are women that Baszler is, you know, are buddies of Baszler as well.
Right.
And Nicole Savoy. They could have, but, you know, they made the decision not to really hire anybody from the Mae West Classic, and I think it's kind of bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
They're not ready with, I mean, I like the little I've seen of a couple of the women, but they're not ready to fight Baszler.
Baszler, yeah. Because, like, who else? Okay, so does Nikki Cross, Kairi Sane,
Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae, maybe. And who else? There's Bianca Belair. There's Lacey Evers. Or was it Lacey Evers? That's how. Yeah, you know, the military chick.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. I forgot. Dakota Kai.
And I guess Nixon Newell is transitioning back from injury.
She's back. She's done some things a little here and there.
I don't see Nixon being involved. I see
Bianca
either.
I see Dakota because she's already had history with
And Candice LeRae too. She beat Candice LeRae at the Mae West Classic.
Yeah.
So those two are definite, and Kairi Sane. See, yeah, with those three, I don't think they really needed to use Nikki, but if Nikki's the first feud up, then I guess that's fine, so that way she can move to the main roster quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Nikki Cross, she'll eventually pop up. I don't think they'll hold her down there that long, because, like, what else does she have down there besides, like, maybe a short feud? So I don't know. Then, of course, the other NXT signees, Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. So she will continue to be his manager. Everything is turned up to the max. Latino power, Latino pride. It's all good. And then after
let's hope they don't fuck that up,
too. Yeah, hopefully.
Because he is the Hispanic wrestler they've been looking for.
Hell yeah, see, you see, You see, like, the first pictures that he's taken with a whole bunch of, like Hispanic music artists and stuff, like Spiff TV and Bad Bunny, who's actually done a music video with Ric Flair, who I'll talk about later during the news, and some other guys. So, like, yeah, he's doing it for the culture, so...
You know? Yeah, I mean, he has a great look, he's a great wrestler, great entrance, and then you have Zelina Vega, who herself is probably the best manager right now, that's not Stokely Hathaway.
Yeah, the best WWE manager, yeah.
Best female manager in a while, too.
Yeah, but overall, of course, Stokely Hathaway, 100%.
Yeah, Stokely Hathaway.
No one's fucking with him.
He has everything that would have gotten him signed in WWE in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
But Vince hates managers, so go figure.
Oh man, it's whatever.
Isn't that weird? This is the guy who had the brain hired for years.
Yeah.
Vince is weird.
He just wants that muscle, man, and muscle, and incoherent promos.
Yeah. did you get around to watching the Andre the Giant thing yet?
Oh, the documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I saw it over the weekend.
What did you think about Vince and that? He seemed like he was, you know, all there.
Yeah, he did. Like, you could see him, like, tearing up. Because I guess he kind of knew that he was sorry for certain things that went down, you know?
Yeah.
And it made... But I felt like it was genuine for the fact that if you look back, first Hall of Famer was Andre. He didn't have to do that. You know?
I just thought it was interesting that he said he has a faculty to eliminate all negativity, so he can't remember certain things. I thought that was interesting.
See, for a person like him, it kind of makes sense because of childhood traumas he's had.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it also brought up a point because someone asked Dave Meltzer if they think they should do a Vince McMahon biography. He said there's no way that would ever be close to accurate because of Vince. And you know, he does look at a lot of the negativity in his life.
He'd probably have to die before that shit happens.
Yeah. And even then, it'd probably be really hard to do.
Yeah, because he probably wouldn't tell his soul about shit.
About certain things.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even like to talk about that trauma, which is understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, the main event was AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan versus Rusev and Aiden English. Match went pretty good until... Big Cass came out and hit Daniel Bryan with a big boot, and Shinsuke snuck up behind AJ Styles and hit him with yet another low blow.
In the 2%. He has the best low blow in the business. That shit doesn't even get tired now.
Yeah, it doesn't. People love that shit.
Because he hits it like he's about to pick them up for like a pickup. He goes all in for that European uppercut.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, of course, Renee Young interviewed him again, and he was real disingenuous and once again said that he doesn't speak English.
I like the new mouth guard he had.
Oh, I didn't notice. What did it look like?
It looked like bloody teeth.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Or at least the angle it did, it looked like he was bleeding from the mouth. Like, is that mouth guard? Yeah. It looked creepy when he smiled.
Yeah. I just realized the last time anybody had a mouth guard, like a legit mouth guard, before him in WWE, it was Angle when he was doing his whole WWE ECW run before they let him go because of the painkiller issue.
Yeah, and his mouth guards all had words on it.
Yeah.
I think one of them said murder or something. I was like, damn, okay, awesome. Good shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Alright.
Yeah.
Is that it for the Superstar Shakeup?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right.
But yeah, so SmackDown above and beyond with the shakeup, like in my estimate, because like I feel like they got all the good like trades in, you know.
Yeah, the only negative I would say is keeping Orton, but that's at least Orton is going to be around, you know, because Orton can go with Bryan and he can go with Seth Rollins, mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a couple guys you could have a decent match with.
Oh, Cassidy,
but we'll see how that goes.
Seth Rollins didn't get traded, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know. For some reason, I got confused. He could go with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. Have you wrestled AJ Styles?
I think so. He did, and it was okay.
Yeah, it had to be okay for me not to think it was bad. And, it could have been, like, early in the AJ Styles bit before they let him really go. So I'm sure if they wrestled again, better. Nice. Yeah, good times. So, almost makes me want to watch SmackDown, but I won't.
Man,
I'll wait till Backlash.
The only problem with me and like SmackDown is that sometimes I just get too tired to watch anything. Cause like you know what happened with SmackDown this week was that I watched I think I was only like seven minutes in and I passed out. And I woke up at like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, "Fuck! What the hell happened?" So I ended up waking up and watching it because I had DVR'd it or whatever. I had saved it on my PlayStation View, so I just watched that shit there, and it was actually went pretty smoothly early in the morning. But yeah, SmackDown. But yeah, speaking of SmackDown, I will be at the May 8th edition of SmackDown live. So I am very happy that they kept all the people that I wanted them to keep and added some really dope additions to it. So I will be in section 114, so that's on the camera side, but it's too high up for anybody to see my ass. But, well, actually not too far up. It's like more like to the right, so like the cameras probably wouldn't even be able to catch me at all. Yeah. Damn. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to be able to see SmackDown Live and 205 Live. So I'm just going to enjoy myself. And shit, I might just take some time off in the morning so, like, I don't have to deal with the bullshit of having to rush to work. Because that's gonna be a tiresome morning after that. But yeah, that's it. Superstar Shakeup, Raw, SmackDown, all that jazz. I am still in the process of watching that tag match between Itami and Akira versus Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado, but I heard that one was really good.
It's interesting that they're doing the same tag match, essentially, but they keep doing really well.
Yeah.
But luckily they got Kendrick back with a Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, they might as well have like a tag title or some shit. Cause if they're...
I heard they actually were built. They made one. I guess they're waiting for the right time to bring it in.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, shit. Did I write that down? That might be part of my news. Shit.
Yeah, that might be. Well, I guess the only bit of news I have right now, we should get the RIP out the way for Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bruno.
Died at the age of 82.
Yeah, still looked like he could beat a man to death, too.
Yeah, because he probably had that old man strength. Plus one extra man. You know?
Yeah. Alright. And then a bit of news regarding the last takeover, which I guess Dave Meltzer agrees with everybody when he said it was...
And speaking of Dave Meltzer, before you switch to that, I think he said some stupid-ass tweet.
at the same day fucking Bruno Sammartino dies, he sends some, besides the condolences and whatever, he sends another tweet talking about how, oh, his sellouts of Madison Square Garden are greatly exaggerated or some shit like that. I'm like, yeah. Really? You're gonna do that today? What a fucking asshole. You know? That was a bitch move.
Yeah, but I really didn't think much about it.
No,
I guess.
That's a bitch move, man. That's a bitch move. Like, you're just gonna throw in some stuff saying, like, oh, yeah, he's not as mighty as people said he was on the day that the guy died. Like, that's fucking disrespectful as shit. That's mad disrespectful. Like, I can't deal with that. That was fucking stupid to me, you know? And
I guess. I didn't really pay attention to that. I didn't know there was a big deal about it.
Yeah, people did catch that, and then they felt some way about it. It was fucking stupid. Like, just say your fucking condolences and keep pushing, you know?
Yeah, I guess I did see someone say it's probably the journalist in it, because I guess the assumption is that because there's going to be a lot of news about it and most news don't know wrestling, they're just going to misreport facts. But, you know, that's a different discussion.
And it's whatever. Like it's not the time for that shit. I just feel like if you're going to, like, so what? You know how many people have myths behind them? People died with myths behind them all the time. But, like, you don't see people, like, saying, on the day that they die, that, oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you do. It's just we're not following those people. I am positive, especially with Twitter now, that shit probably does happen. We're just not following those guys.
Don't make it right, though.
Because this is really tied into wrestling. It's much more noticeable to us.
Yeah, still don't make it right, though.
No, it doesn't, but it's something that probably happens. We just don't pay attention or care enough. But what I was going to say is that the NXT show, he gave two five-star matches, too. He gave 5 stars to the ladder match and 5 stars to the main event, Gargano versus Ciampa.
Makes sense.
However, this is not the first time he's given one show 2 5-star matches, because that was the question that popped up.
Mm-hmm.
The first time he did that was All Japan Women Tag League Round Robin. And this might actually be slightly more impressive than the NXT show, because the two matches he gave 5 stars to on that one, not only were the semi-main and main event, they were with the same wrestlers in both matches. Akira Hokada teamed with Manami Toyota to take on Toshio Yamada and Kyoko Inoue in their tag league round robin. And apparently, in the one match, I guess they won it and tied. And instead of doing the, if you win, you get the tiebreaker, they did the tiebreaker final right afterwards. So he literally gave these two tag teams a pair of 5-star matches for back-to-back matches. That's pretty fucking insane, right?
Yeah, man.
Also, people were asking if Velveteen Dream would be the youngest guy to earn a 5-star match. He is not, as Rey Mysterio had a 5-star match at the age of 18. I'm going to see if I can figure out which match that was, because I didn't even know he had a Meltzer 5-star. But then again, Wikipedia doesn't have all the 5-star ones listed. Okay. No. All right. Yeah, it's right here. It says 5-star match with winners and Super Calo versus Psicosis, Heavy Metal, and El Picuda on an episode of AAA Sin Limit, January 29, 1993. He also had a 5-star match, 2 out of 3 falls with Psicosis, and, wow. And a 2 out of 3 falls match with Juventud Guerrero at ECW Big Ass Extreme Night on March 9, 1996. I didn't know ECW had any 5-star matches.
Huh.
Yeah. But, but still, that is, not only is that having 2-on-1 show is incredibly impressive, this is what, the second ladder match to get 5 stars? Maybe? And it's also NXT and New Japan are tied for 5-star matches for this year, if you're one of those people who likes to keep count. It also means to me that all the people who were bitching about him only giving five-star matches to fucking New Japan can finally shut up. Because he constantly said that the undercard for New Japan takeovers are generally better than the undercard for, the undercard for NXT show. NXT takeover shows are better than New Japan undercard matches usually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's that. So congrats to Gargano with 2 5-star matches for the year.
Yeah, but that
him
takeover.
And Kenny Omega are the only two, except Gargano has both of his in singles matches.
Okay. But yeah, that takeover is definitely my event of the year so far. Like, I really liked Wrestle Kingdom, but I feel like Takeover was it for me.
I'm pretty sure when it comes down to the voting, most people are going to agree with you.
Okay.
And I liked Wrestle Kingdom too, but it didn't have that bam, 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 4 matches in a row that Wrestle Kingdom last year had.
Right.
With the Never, the Junior, the IC, and the heavyweight title match.
Right.
But, yeah, no surprise. Of course, all this just continues to just remind us that the WrestleMania, right after that, the WrestleMania weekend NXT is disappointing. And I did like this WrestleMania better than last year's WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was long. Both were long as shit, but this one was definitely a little bit more palpable.
Yeah. And while I don't want to agree with Jim Cornette on his opinions about the Rousey Angle McMahon match, I thought it was good. His comments about the Asuka Charlotte match fucking pissed me off, so I don't care what his comments on any other match was.
What do you say?
Did you hear about that?
No.
He criticized Asuka for countering the moonsault into the triangle choke for no reason.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she's not the first person to do that. We've seen other wrestlers capture high flyers into the triangle choke.
Yeah, I remember Kyle O'Reilly did that with ACH and PWG once.
Yeah, and Zack Sabre Jr. has done it with Tanahashi when Tanahashi went for the high fly flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did it to guys doing standing moonsaults. And then he criticized Asuka and Charlotte for doing the suplex off the apron to the floor. And you know what his reason was?
What?
They're girls. They don't have enough patty.
Fucking idiot. Jesus.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck this. Like, that bullshit.
I have to talk to you again. There's more news, but it's more sexist shit. But
Alright. Then before we get to the bad sexist shit, Glow trailer came out.
Oh yeah, that was my news too. I saw that.
Yes. That made me happy.
So June 29th, Glow. Cause they had
and I'm glad they're doing it before I go on my summer vacation. So thanks Netflix for looking out for me.
Yo, I need a fucking vacation, but I don't know where to fucking go. You know,
man. Well, it sort of depends. Like most of my vacations, I end up going with my family, but I always take a week off afterwards. And I usually just use that to catch up on reading or whatever, buying food. Basically, I just stay at the house and be happy. Nice. I ain't got to talk to anybody or work.
See, I would just, take off and then chill at home, but, my home life sucks. So, fuck that.
Yeah, that could be a problem. No one really bothers me. My brother just plays video games most of the day. And then sometimes we watch movies, and then... Yeah. My mom does her thing, so it's not like I have to worry about shit.
Yeah, that's why I gotta get my shit together and get the fuck out of here. I already saved a ton of money right now, so.
Yeah, that way when you do a staycation, you just find a bunch of movies and books and TV shows, and bam, you good.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
Get as much fucking sleep as possible.
Yeah. All right, so going to the sexist shit I was talking about, Billy Graham. Apparently, he had some very disparaging remarks against Ronda Rousey, basically accusing her of using Roddy Piper, basically stealing Roddy Piper's gimmick, mocking her as a UFC failure. despite her being the one to set the groundwork for the whole fucking women in the UFC in the fucking first place, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's fucking stupid. It's fucking UFC. People lose.
People fucking lose.
This is professional wrestling where you can lose 100 matches and still get booked for the main event because you cut a good promo.
Yeah.
No, that's some stupid ass shit.
Yeah.
Fuck Billy Graham. I don't even remember Billy Graham that well, to be honest with you, so I have no problem saying that.
And he also shit on an idea that apparently one of the finishes for the match would have actually been Triple H tapping out to her armbar instead. But he shit on the idea just basically because she's a woman.
Jeez, that's fucking stupid. Yeah. A trained UFC woman can fucking tap out. She'd have tapped his ass out.
But yeah. Like, she's a legitimate combat sports athlete. Like, judoka, UFC, etc. And then going back to the Roddy Piper thing, she was friends with Roddy Piper. That was his fucking jacket she's been wearing. She got his blessing years ago to use the rowdy moniker, and even like his daughter has given the blessing too. You know, so
no, it's probably just some guy who's trying to get some attention on him. Jesus, I didn't realize his first name was really Eldridge. I mean, if you spell that's only because Eldridge is common in like goth fiction.
Yeah,
a different spelling, but. Yeah, it's hard to explain. And plus, I think the band, the Sisters of Mercy, famous goth band, they're called the Eldritch Brothers, were behind it. I don't know, it's just a weird little, Cthulhu Mythos, if you spell it differently.
Cthulhu?
Yeah, it's the name that also pops up in the Cthulhu Mythos. There's a heavy metal band called Eldritch. He had a villain name and changed it to Billy Graham. Andrew Eldritch, the lead singer for the Sisters of Mercy. That's a pretty dope, band, especially when he had like the black backup singers on that shit for the song "More." It's a dope ass goth song. That's my goth. That's me reminding everyone here I actually know my goth shit.
Yeah, you had one of those goth phases, or you just...
Well, it wasn't even really a fucking phase. It was a joke that I used the name, but it was mainly because I listened to similarly sounded music. Because a lot of goth folks. Most goth music is pretty lousy, to be honest with you, other than the bands you already know, like Cure, Susie and the Banshees. A lot of goths listen to also industrial music, which to me was more interesting because it had the drum machine beat, and depending on what you were listening to, you'd have either really cool dance music or really cool heavy metal music. Like, my favorite group is My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult, and the majority of their music is inspired by disco and funk. Huh. They had a black funk bass player for like a decade. One of the original backup singers was a black woman. So they had, even their goth shit had some serious ass soul to it.
Nice.
But they would have like, you remember the movie Cool World?
With the animated shit.
Yeah, the hit song Sex on Wheels is their song. It's a dance song.
Oh, okay.
Most of their music is dance music. But they dress in black leather and they looked really creepy. But, and then you had Ministry, which actually started out as a kind of a synth 80s new wave band before they went super metal, but it's all like heavy drum machine stuff, and I just liked that music. But, yeah, because I can't get into real heavy metal music most of the time, because I just, like, even if I like the beat, I just can't fucking stand the singers. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying, and I don't believe that for a minute that you believe any of the shit you're saying, so shut up. No. If you want some legit good goth music that is you might like, I would pick up the look at the Greatest Hits, or at least listen to the song "More" by Sisters of Mercy. That was the first song I heard by them. I saw a music video, like, this is pretty good. It has some good guitars, and they had the backup singers making that shit sound almost gospel. Like, hell yeah! Song's dope as fuck. Oh, and fuck Morrissey. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I was about to say, yeah, fuck him.
I don't know. He's not goth or anything. He's just indie, and I know some of that
is like pop, indie goth, like,
but fuck that shit.
Indie primo shit. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess some goths probably like the Smiths, but Fuck Morrissey. And I only, I have one Morrissey album and I bought it because I like the first of the Gang to Die, which is a dope song. I don't give a fuck about Morrissey. I don't give a fuck about the Smiths. I feel bad for all the Morrissey and Smith fans who listened to him like, oh my god, fuck this guy. He's been pissing off his own fan base for decades now.
Oh shit.
And to tie this all back to wrestling, goth fashion black craft cult, and they are starting their own wrestling promotion.
Oh yeah.
They even got a wrestling section on their website with t-shirts that include a shirt that says wrestling is real, God is fake.
Jesus.
So, bam, tied that shit back.
Nice. And then, okay, what else? According to Deadline, BET has ordered a 6-episode docuseries titled Finding Justice from Dwayne The Rock Johnson's 7 Bucks Productions.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson just don't quit working.
Yeah, for real. apparently the description of the series is Finding Justice tells the powerful stories of heroes, leaders, advocates, and change agents in African-American communities across America as they uncover injustices and fight to bring healing and change. Combining the grit and edge of investigative journalism and the profound heart of a powerful documentary, Finding Justice from executive producers Johnson Garcia, which is his ex-wife and business partner, and David Leibson, takes a look at the faces of change in Black America.
Yeah, that's the kind of divorce relationship you want.
Yeah.
Where you know, you're divorced, but you're buddies and you're making money together.
Making a lot of paper, man. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we're divorced and he's remarried, but you know, I got a job and I got a kid. We're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. And then besides that, he also has a tequila coming out. He just recently had a trademark for tequila called Manna. So
Manna.
Yeah.
There's some breaking news here about that Rusev thing with Undertaker at Greatest Royal Rumble. It's not anything interesting, but it just says here that it was just a case of Vince McMahon being Vince McMahon and just changing things back and forth. It had nothing to do with Rusev's TMZ interview.
Right.
Which it was apparently a setup shot for Total Divas anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
with the fact that people Rusev may have asked for a release, got people thinking, but yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Back to you.
All right. And then the last bit of Rock news, yes, there's still more. Rampage debuted at number 1 in the box office.
Did you get around to seeing it?
Some loved it, some hated it. I thought, personally, I saw that shit. I thought it was fun, but it was dumb as shit.
See, I didn't think it was dumb. I guess it was a stupid movie, but I thought for what they had to do, there probably wouldn't have been a better movie than that.
Like, there were clear plot holes in it, but I guess they could be overlooked. Whatever, but
yeah,
I didn't notice.
Did the best what they could. I mean, I thought the first 5-10 minutes were actually a really impressive horror film setup too.
Oh hell yeah, the space station shit. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And
I thought that was great.
I mean, and I liked that certain sections of the movie. I guess it may not have connected all the sequences together as well as it should.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and I thought Malin Ackerman, this is the first time I've seen her play a bad guy. She was a bitch, and I liked it.
Yeah. But
she's mostly known for comedic acting, but I thought she was really a fucking impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought totally they kind of hit the right mood for the thing, and the monster looked great.
Yeah, the monsters
were
fantastic.
The crocodile and
the
wolf looked amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was a big dumb movie, but I kind of expected it to be, and I mean, I've seen movies. I mean, especially with video game movies, this would have to be like legit top 5.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say.
I would probably watch this again if it was on cable. Like, oh shit, it's Rampage.
Yeah, you know what other reason why not to watch again? The Tomb Raider one, because I actually enjoyed that one.
I didn't get around to seeing it. I'll see it eventually.
Yeah, I actually
I'm sure it was fine. I don't know why it seems so hard for people to make video game movies, though. Because they make movies that aren't video game movies that feel like video game movies, like Got Pilgrim, yeah. Edge of Tomorrow.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, they clearly understand how to make a video game movie, but for some reason when they actually get a property, some shit happens.
You know why? You know why? Because they actually have good screenwriters. That's why, like, you can't name...
So the good screenwriters come up with their plot, or they're adapting something like Scott Pilgrim or whatever, and then, but when it comes to a video game one, they don't bother to get a good screenwriter.
They don't. Like, can't name a screenwriter for any of these, like, video game movies. You can't.
I guess not. Well, I know that the guy who was supposed to do Uncharted was, I think wasn't that Darren Aronofsky, was the David O. Russell.
David
I don't know.
Russell. Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah, but his idea was to just not do it based on any of the essential video games and just make a prequel. And I think someone told him, that's kind of stupid.
He's like, shut the fuck up.
and I think Gore Verbinski was behind Bioshock. Actually, to be honest with you, now that I think about it, the guys who probably are good are either trying to do prequels so they avoid using too much of the stuff. That way they can use the aesthetic and add their own. It's either egotistical, or in the case of Gore Verbinski and Bioshock, it was a matter of them not wanting to spend that much money on an R-rated film. Because Universal got it, and Universal turned that down, and then they also turned down Guillermo del Toro's Mouth of Madness movie with Tom Cruise and, what's his buddy's name, Hellboy? Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. You would have put Tom Cruise in an R-rated monster movie horror film with Del Toro? That shit would have sold.
Yeah,
you had goth kids and Scientologists all in the fucking theater.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's why Universal only got Fast and the Furious, but they got Jurassic Park again.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess Paramount's finally doing the business for the first time since Star Trek Beyond with Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which I saw over the weekend. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go see that on a... I'm going to go see that Sunday.
Yeah, it was a fan... Yeah, I actually saw it on a Sunday. But yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, right. Very good.
I'm trying to figure out how we can turn that, this talk about it into wrestling. So I'm just going to assume that Dwayne The Rock Johnson...
No, I can flip it. No, I can flip it. I can flip it. A Quiet Place stars John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. They would have played Captain America and Black Widow in the Marvel Universe, which would have eventually had them in Infinity War with Dave Bautista.
Bam.
Boom. And boom.
Good old Dave Bautista here to help us.
And speaking of Dave Bautista...
We need to get more wrestling guys in movies and TV.
And speaking of Dave Bautista... did you see the trailer for Hotel Artemis?
I did.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, they blatantly ripped off John Wick for the concept of the hotel. Definitely. Of course, I think the story is going to have more substance than John Wick, but it's obvious that they ripped it off of that.
Yeah, it seemed like the movie had a lot of stunt casting in it. But
yeah,
anytime I get to see that French girl whose name escapes me, I'm all happy. I love her.
What was
she's beautiful and deadly.
I think it's Sophia Botella or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. She was the first Secret Service movie. Kingsman. Yeah, the first Kingsman movie. Yeah. And then what else was she in? She was in the last Star Trek movie too.
Yeah, she was great in that.
Yeah.
And she was sexy as fuck in Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I heard mixed things, but so I did.
It's an interesting, but it's kind of like a long-ass series of music videos.
Really?
But I like the 80s music. I like the look, and I liked it when she beat the shit out of people. So, if you're just looking for something that's fun, I would highly suggest it. Some of the action scenes are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I like the music. You know, I'm not going to hate on 80s music from Depeche Mode, Ministry, and the like. I just can't.
Okay. Okay.
Plus, you get to see Theron and Sophia make out. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have no idea how to tie that back into wrestling. So I'm just going to keep going with the news.
I'm sure there's a way. I'm sure one of these people worked with a wrestler.
Yeah, I probably had to think, but...
James McAvoy. He's going to be in the movie with fucking Sam Jackson. And Sam Jackson's been buddy was with The Rock and the other guys. Bam!
Oh, but also, you could also flip James McAvoy in the sense that he is Professor X, and eventually the X-Men will be part of the Marvel Universe, which again goes back to Dave Bautista.
Boom. Yeah, but I think people are overestimating the why Disney bought Fox, because it had nothing to do with the X-Men. They didn't. That was secondary. They wanted TV content.
They're saying there's rumor now that Infinity War may bridge some type of gap in like the X-Men timeline. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, my main problem with them getting the X-Men is that this means you're gonna start seeing a lot less of the third tier Marvel characters. Like if they had the X-Men like 5-6 years ago, I highly doubt we would have seen like an Ant-Man film. Maybe not even Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Because they would be they would rest on their laurels and stick with like the big names, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how this all turns out. Yeah. And as long as they don't touch Deadpool, which from the sounds of it, the president of Disney was like, I don't care if they make a Deadpool R-rated movie. Don't. They would only care because they're gonna buy Fox, so they're gonna get all the R-rated content. They're just gonna put the R-rated content on Netflix or Hulu.
Right.
Yeah, their main thing was to get the stuff that's up to PG-13 for the streaming service. Because Disney's made R-rated movies for years. They just rarely advertise them as being owned by Disney.
Yeah. Okay.
Moana.
Bam. Oh, that's shit. Yeah. Nice. Okay. What else happened? The NXT tapings. They went down. This is not really a spoiler because apparently it's happening in dark matches. But apparently, Leo Rush has a new bodyguard. And it is Babatunde. Babatunde, former football player. I think he played in Europe, and he was on the practice squad of one team in there. And he is Polish-Nigerian. I forgot where he stands at. I think he's over 6'8", like 350 or something like that. So he's fucking huge. So it's interesting to have him paired up with a guy like that. So good on Leo Rush. Hopefully he's building himself back up. He's young enough to be able to do that. So cool.
Yeah, Polish Nigerian. Wow.
Yeah. Hey man, there's like Nigerian, like Germans. That's like the most I've heard actually. German Nigerians. There's a good amount of those.
I was always wondering what the black community in China was from. Because there's a black community in China somewhere.
Yeah, most likely they're Nigerians. I'm not going to lie. They're probably Nigerians and like fucking South Africans or something like that. And in Japan, apparently Japan hates Nigerians. Because a lot of them are part of like some of the crime, the immigrants are part of some of the crime rate in certain areas, whatever. Either they're scamming or stealing or doing some funny business or whatever. So
China is pretty, I don't want to say crime free, but they have a very low crime rate.
Yeah.
Which makes, so when they do have crimes, they're usually the ones you hear about are the more violent crimes, like the gassings or the weird serial killer ones that pop up.
Yeah, I was about to say serial killer shit. Yeah.
There's actually a book I have by this guy. He was a Jewish guy who was living in Japan. He ended up being like the first white dude to work for an actual Japanese newspaper. And he actually accidentally got involved in a bit where they were looking into a possible serial killer. It turned out the guy was an immigrant. So he actually went into like, I don't know, immigrant neighborhoods, but he started trying to look for him and everyone. And I think some people thought it was him for a minute because he wasn't Japanese.
Oh God.
And that guy got in trouble with the Yakuza for exposing some shit between them and the US FBI.
Oh. Then
he broke a story how the FBI and the Yakuza traded details to how to, the Yakuza were going to sell something to the FBI, and the FBI would let a Yakuza leader come into the state and go to like the UCLA to get a special operation.
What the fuck?
And then I think the Yakuza reneged on their part of the plan.
Jesus, of course they did.
Yeah. It takes place in Japan, so Japanese wrestlers. Bam.
Oh, yeah. And apparently WWE has been editing out Rusev Day chants in post. So, like when stuff is live, like, you'll definitely hear it. But, like, when shit is posted to YouTube, the chants are replaced. So, like, somebody by the Twitter user by the name of Dunkology found this and made a video comparing the live broadcast to the replay. And there was one segment, I believe it was last week, where AJ Styles had, Paige was out, and she was talking her shit, and the crowd was chanting, Rusev Day, Rusev Day, Rusev Day. But then in post, you see the edited chants, or AJ Styles chants. So, yeah, that's some foul shit that WWE's pulling.
All that does is just... It just sounds stupid. You can't...
Can't suppress the people.
I don't get it. I don't understand what the purpose is of that, but... I mean, at least they're putting in a chance for somebody they want. Yeah. You imagine they did that and started doing Roman Reigns channel.
Yeah.
People would be like, no, that's total bullshit.
Oh, man. Okay. And then in other news, Alberto El Patron basically claims that he had a family issue, a family emergency, and that's why he no-showed the Impact versus LU event. I don't believe that for a fucking second.
Like, no, yeah, I mean,
he's on this bullshit all the time. I don't know.
Like I said, I don't. When he was in Lucha Underground, he didn't regard Pentagon as being on the same level.
Yeah.
Then he has to team up with him for this LU versus Impact thing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was doomed from the start. Speaking of Penta. I believe he's part of he's going to be doing some stuff with MLW, but yeah, Shane Strickland is the new MLW World Champion. He won it over the weekend. I think he defeated Matt Riddle for it, so that's cool. It's funny that, have you seen that MLW belt?
No,
it's fucking huge. It is ridiculously huge. If you see it on his waist, it's like his whole fucking... Like, if you pulled it up, it's his whole fucking torso. It's that fucking big. It's ridiculous, dude. But yeah, just look that up when you get the chance to... And MCW World Championship. But in addition to that, apparently Jake Hager has signed a multi-fight deal with MLW. Of course, Jake Hager, the former Jack Swagger. So I think he's also fighting for Bellator as well. So it's interesting.
Yeah, making his money.
So I guess he's pulling a Bobby Lashley, because Bobby Lashley would do the Impact stuff and fight in MMA as well. So that's cool. Yeah, again, you said it earlier, MJF is the new CCW World Champion, stripped of the world title, but then people started like throwing in the question of whether CCW is even viable anymore, you know? It's like, besides besides Tournament of Death, Best of the Best. Actually, not even Tournament of Death anymore, because people don't even feel like that is even worth it. So it's mostly like Best of the Best and like Cage of Death that people look forward to. And speaking of Best of the Best, Dave Starr, I believe, he won Best of the Best this year.
Yep. See, I don't know, really. It sounds like the crowds are still coming out for CZW shows.
They are, but they're fucking dead. That's the problem. Because, like, I remember...
They've been dead for a while, though. Even the brief time I watched CZW, like, 4 or 5 years ago, they felt like they were still dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just where they have it. I mean, it could be that deathmatch wrestling. To be honest with you, I don't even think deathmatch wrestling is still that big a thing, because they're not doing a lot of stuff you see. I mean, BJW's cut down on their severely down when you look at old clips of them versus the kind of deathmatch wrestling they do now.
Yeah.
I just think that audience is more or less gone, and CZW's still trying to do both things.
Yeah.
I mean, plus, I guess their immediate competition is GCW, and GCW has smartly basically did both deathmatch, comedy match, and serious wrestling matches right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Matt Riddle doing his stuff for them, Joey Janela doing his stuff for them, Nick Gaethje, and I don't even think they do that much deathmatch wrestling in GCW other than a couple of things.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, when you have guys, because I saw clips of David Starr wrestling Nick Gaethje in a hardcore match. It seems like that stuff gets mostly just put around Nick Gaethje and a couple other things.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE has essentially became what CZW was. CZW just wasn't evolving fast enough. And I think they also got hit really bad when WWE started taking talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost Drew Gulak, which was one of their basically top heels. Not only that, you guys retiring on them, like Danny Havoc, I believe.
Yeah.
A bunch of the Nation Intoxication guys, Blackout's gone.
Mm-hmm.
They just got real. They're gutted. Yeah, they gutted. And I'm sure some of their students are fine when they're coming up, but they kind of got left with, like, Matt Tremont and Joe Gacy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they brought Ricky Shane Page in, I think, because until like 2 or 3 years ago, he never worked CZW.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But even their students, even CZW students are leaving, either leaving altogether or splitting their time between CZW and GCW.
I guess GCW does seem to look like they run a lot of random scramble matches.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's as well, because I've seen clips of some of the Dojo Wars from CZW.
Yeah.
Some of those guys look good, but I never see them on CZW shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that kind of just happens. I know Chikara trained a lot of guys, that some of which never actually made it onto the roster. But I mean, it could be that they go out and train there and then don't wrestle there because, you know, they want to wrestle closer to home or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's probably a lot of reasons, but yeah, I think they did get gutted with their roster. And GCW, just of the indie promotions, is the one that has the most creative buzz right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for the women's portion of CZW, because they don't do the women's show that much.
Yeah, they don't. What was it? Women's...
Superstars... Something
uncensored, yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, you have Shine is constantly running, well, once a month. You got Shimmer a few times a year. Then there's a bunch of like small women's promotions. Rise seems to be doing a show every month too.
And then Ring of Honor's doing the Women of Honor thing.
Women of Honor, and then you have more promotions doing obviously intergender.
Yeah,
because you got Solo Darling and Oceana and And also now, Blanche, I forget the rest of her name, and Chikara, but they're also bringing in Penelope Ford with Joey Janela. And he seems to be really excited to work on and off with Chikara because he tweets out how much fun he has.
Yeah.
And I think him working, and he likes the team with Penelope Ford, so Chikara is a great place for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, you have Beyond Wrestling with Intergender.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Europe, there's Pro Wrestling Eve, there's whatever promotion, Soraya Night Runs, and then you have the women trying to get into Stardom or get picked up by any of the women's stuff, because Meiko Satomura, not only did she bring in Solo Darling for these shows they're doing for Sendai Girls, she brought in Pro Wrestling Eve, Sammy Jane, I think is her name.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's so many options, but it would be great to have another women's promotion running a few times a month. But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Besides that, I was going to talk about the Ring of Honor locker room fight thing, but there's not any real information on that shit.
I want to think Flip Gordon was involved because they were joking about after it about, because Cody said after this fight I have not more respect for Flip, but I'm considering Flip for All In. And the villain said, "What are you going to Flip now?"
Oh god,
I don't know if something happened, but R.I.P. to their Chipotle, him and Adam Page.
Yeah, they got flattened like Flip Gordon's flat Earth. Yeah.
There was a Chris Jericho podcast that just happened, and he was talking to a flat earth scientist. I was like, okay, I'm about to unfollow this shit.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, come on, dude. Don't encourage
nonsense.
Please don't.
If the earth was flat,
shit,
someone would have fell off.
Oh man. But yeah, besides that, apparently the season premiere of Champs vs. Stars, the MTV competition show, aired this past Tuesday with Miz as the host. Most likely he had previously filmed that shit or whatever. So that's kind of cool, him still working with MTV after all these years. And then also what else? Oh yeah, we mentioned Shimmer earlier. They say that WWE was scouting at Shimmer over the weekend, and now there's rumor that they want Tessa Blanchard. So they might take her.
Tessa didn't work the Mae West thing, did she? Or
she was part of the Mae Young Classic, I think.
You wrestled Kairi Sane, right?
Yeah.
See, why didn't they just fucking sign her then?
I don't know. Maybe they just felt like they needed to. I don't know.
Yeah, they should have signed her. They should have signed Rachel Evers. They should have signed Mercedes Martinez. They should have signed fucking Mia Yim. Yeah. Mia Yim went to like the final four. I mean, not Mia Yim. Mercedes Martinez. Any of you don't want to put her on the main roster. She would have been great to do more NXT stuff. She's experienced. She's got. She looks intimidating. WWE should look into doing more part-timers, at least for their developmental.
Yeah. But yeah, Tessa Blanchard.
Danny Burke still got that developmental deal, that half developmental
half
deal.
Half and half, part-timer. Yeah, that's right. He got that half and half, because like half of the shows I've been to, he pops up in. You know?
And then he's doing an indie show somewhere else, probably.
Yeah,
they don't talk trash about that deal anymore between him and the British boys.
Yeah, man.
They're all British. Oh, did you see the new Bullet Queen shirt?
The new Bullet... What?
You know, Cody Rhodes' attempts to make Bullet Club more, I guess, corporate. He's putting out the Bullet Queen shirt.
Oh, God.
So women got their own Bullet Club shirt. It's actually a pretty nice design.
Mm.
And someone actually tweeted at Brandy about why she was in this poster for the upcoming press conference. It's like, why is Brandy in this and not Kenny? And she's like, because I got better boobs.
Oh, man. What other news? Oh, yeah, we were talking about people doing part-time stuff. Apparently, WWE is loaning out Cassius Ohno yet again. He is participating in Progress's Super Strong Style 16 tournament.
Yeah. It's not like he's ever going to make the main roster.
Yeah. Hey, they, hey, but Apollo's on the main roster, and they loaned him out to do a tournament, too.
That is true.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, look, they're like, here's one of our main roster guys. You can have him for a little bit.
Honestly, yeah. If you're not going to be doing anything full-time with any of these guys you have under your contract, let them do some indie shows.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be, like, losing the Curtain Jerker, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Nobody at, like, if you loan them out to fucking, I don't know, any indie promotion, they're going to either be the main event or the semi-main event against somebody worth the damn.
Mm-hmm. But it is interesting in Apollo's part, as he's probably the only person I've heard of that's been on the main roster and actually ended up wrestling elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the last few years, I think the last time any of that shit really ever happened was when they let Eddie Guerrero finish his Ring of Honor dates, and he was the IC champion.
Oh, yeah.
That was just dope, seeing the video of him showing up to the Ring of Honor show with the fucking IC title. Like, I'm here, I'm the champion, you want to hold this red?
Man. Oh, man. Speaking of Ring of Honor people, or past Ring of Honor people, Nigel McGuinness has been absent for over a week, but apparently it's because he became a father to a baby girl.
Oh. Yeah,
so congratulations to him.
All these big girls, I'm telling you, the women's division in 20-25 years is going to be stacked.
Stacked with second generation wrestlers. So yeah, like, if you're a first-generation female wrestler, you can just forget about being in the WWE around that time.
I know. They'd be like, okay, you seem talented, but are you related to another wrestler?
Yeah, because we got other people.
We got our Birdie, we got our Monroe Sky, we got the Kanellis girl. What was the Kanellis girl's name? Moon or something?
Something, huh? Moon. Yeah, something Moon.
Yeah, and we got the McGuinness girl. You know, it's all... The women are going to be headlining all the fucking shows.
Yeah.
Men are going to be fucking pissed.
Oh, man.
Wait, doesn't fucking Bray Wyatt have girls, too?
Shit, he might. And they're going to be, like, what, third or fourth generation?
Yeah. I mean, who else has girls? I still remember, what was it, last year or the year before at the Hall of Fame with Big Boss Man's daughters talking, and I was, like, listening to her. Like, she can speak. She looked like she could whoop some ass. Put the fucking title on this woman.
Oh, shit. I forgot. Edge and Beth Phoenix's girls. They got two.
Yeah. None of these wrestlers are having sons. God's giving them all women.
Shit. I think even Apollo Crews has a daughter, too.
Yeah. Actually, the only one who has boys is Leo Rush, from the sounds of it, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Didn't Ricochet have a boy, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does have a boy.
So I guess only the black guys are having male children.
Yeah.
They had women, they probably succeed more, though.
Yeah.
Because it's WWE.
Huh. Hey, man.
I know that sounds racist, but let's be honest, it's WWE.
Hey, man, D-Von's got two black boys that's tagging right now.
Oh, they're going to go WWE?
I don't know. Like... I think they've been, I don't know if they've been working House of Hardcore or elsewhere, but they've been grinding for a while, apparently. So, like, they made some appearances on Impact while D-Von was still there. Like, him lecturing them and all this other shit like that, but, like, yeah, he's been really focused on those two specifically to get them to, the shape they need to be, I guess. So,
yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they, like, WWE comes a knocking and says, like, hey, let's get these new Dudley boys into the fold.
Mark Henry has a daughter and a son.
Daughter
son
and
looked
son,
like
yeah.
He's ready to wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say, I think Bo Dallas doesn't have a kid yet.
I think he does.
I was looking at his personal. I didn't bring up. Maybe he does.
I think he has one kid. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, so many kids, so many of these guys have kids.
Yeah.
So many of these kids are women. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Women's division is going to be, I hope I'm around for this.
Right. And I know some people who are not going to have kids in the near future. John Cena and Nikki Bella. Yeah.
Well, they were going to have their kids regardless. Cena don't want a second generation child. For a while, I mean, maybe he just doesn't want kids, or maybe he doesn't want a son that ends up being better than him. He wants to be the only Cena.
I am the one. But yeah, like, but it makes sense because he's tried to protect himself. People thought he was insane for that, like, 75-page contract that he had Nikki Bella sign before she moved in. But in the end of the day, it's all about protecting himself. He may care about her, but he doesn't want to get hurt. Because, like, his previous divorce, basically she cleaned him out. Almost destroyed the dude. And he was still wrestling and doing all this shit, traveling. So he had to deal with all of that personal shit while still traveling all over the place. Like,
he's one of those divorcees who kind of was like, I don't want to say learned his lesson, because there's some divorcees that be like, all right, I'm divorced, time to go marry someone else, and they go through like multiple marriages.
So
they're also usually white people.
See, yeah, he was careful, but people may think that he was too careful, you know? But basically publications have said that Nikki was the one who broke it off because she felt like he proposed to her out of obligation and wasn't fully in it and blah, blah, blah. But in the end of the day, apparently the wedding date was only like weeks away. So like he kind of dodged a bullet, I guess.
Yeah.
Because if
they both did.
Yeah. Cause like, okay, like, what if, like, they finally get married and she feels that way? She doesn't feel that the way that she felt now until after they finally got married. Then everything's even more complicated and more crazy, you know?
Yeah.
But,
and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and I felt worried about them because I think Nikki really does want a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, especially now that she's, like, probably super auntie.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably going to end up getting back with Dolph.
Let's hope not.
Oh, God.
We've said it already. Dolph's a black hole. Let's try to avoid this.
Yeah, and plus he's a Republican douche, so fuck him. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, the only Republicans I trust now are porn stars who are Republicans.
You talk about Stormy Daniels and how she like gave to Planned Parenthood or some shit? Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think a porn star who's Republican probably has a better love for like organized health care.
Yeah,
because they have to take how much health testing they have to take being porn stars.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think she's also the reason they stormed the lawyer's place, because between what they were saying and the fact that his lawyer and Trump were on two different pages, they were like, well. Yeah. Somebody's lying.
And then without all of that, they wouldn't eventually reveal that lawyer also is the lawyer for Sean Hannity.
I swear, I saw your tweet when I woke up from a nap and said Sean Hannity. My brain was like, I bet this has something to do with that Trump or lawyer rape. And then I looked it up like, yep, yeah, yeah.
It was like people were surprised, but they weren't surprised at the same time. You know,
they were surprised until a moment of clarity. Like, no, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
that's where we are now.
Yeah, basically.
It's like no. Of course, a porn star is suing the president. Of course, the lawyer is working with the Fox News dude. Yeah. We don't need to tie this to wrestling because we're talking about Trump.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Because he's a WWE Hall of Fame.
And you Speaking know what? What? I'd still I'd rather still him rather be in the Hall of Fame than Kid Rock.
Oh, God.
Absolutely hates Trump. At least they use Trump Tower. And Bobby Lashley wrestled on his behalf.
Yeah.
I know it's horrible, but still.
Yeah. Speaking of WWE, Keith Lee could possibly be headed to WWE soon. Apparently, he gave a farewell speech at AAW, and there's been speculation for a while. Of course, he also lost his WWN WWN Championship to Austin Theory, of all people. So,
who's also on WWE's radar.
Who's also on WWE's radar. That's right, because he did have a tryout like a month ago. So, very interesting. 6'3", Keith Lee.
So, he's going to probably be dropping the PWG title he just won against Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor, yeah.
I'm assuming to Walter would probably be the best choice.
Yeah. And that was funny because Walter was also speculated in leaving too, but he already denied that, so it's whatever.
Yeah, Walter could probably go a couple more years. I think Walter's younger than Keith, because wasn't Keith Lee a little older than people think? Because I guess he'd been wrestling for years, but it wasn't until like just recently.
Yeah, because okay, so he played football and then wrestled for like over a decade. So the dude has to be in like his 30s. At least
I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, because he seemed like one of those guys that people were kind of saying was indie wrestling's best kept secret for a while.
Yeah.
So let's look you up, Keith Lee.
So the thing is that, like, if you go on Wikipedia, you won't find his fucking age.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It says 84, 85.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't fucking know.
So yeah, he definitely has to be in his early 30s.
Well, yeah, mid, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Early to mid 30s.
I mean, I'm sure. Also, him signing to WWE and Walter signing to WWE are two different things, because Walter would have to upend where he lives, go through the visa process and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. Walter's only a few years younger than Keith Lee from the looks of it. He's basically my brother's age.
Yeah. And besides
that, Walter was trained partially by Tomohiro Ishii. What the fuck did that happen?
Huh. I don't know.
And trained by a guy named Tetsuhito Takaiwa, who, he's a former New Japan 01 dude. Okay. What, did Ishii just show him how to do a brain buster and hit people really hard and walk away?
Yeah, I suspect that he probably only taught him a little bit of shit. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I don't see Ishii being that like long term mentor type.
No. I mean, and Ishii wrestles a very classic, simple style.
Yeah.
So does Shibata, but I did read about some of what Shibata was training when he did camp. He seemed to be very. Shibata is a guy who apparently is not a fan of slapping your leg when you're making noise,
yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
But I can't see them teaching people that in the New Japan Dojo anyway. But he seemed very good. I mean, it'd be interesting because New Japan puts out. I know they probably have a bunch of dropouts, but the good wrestlers they put out tend to be really fucking good.
Yeah. Speaking of trainees and tryouts and shit, WWE was holding tryouts in Saudi Arabia. Which means basically no women were there. I didn't see a fucking woman in that motherfucker, so it's whatever.
I get a little concerned when they do tryouts at countries like this, because I just worry about how those guys will adapt to if they get picked up by WWE.
Yeah, they move to America and then, like,
they have to work with, women.
Yeah.
Even if it's not wrestling them, they have to work with them backstage, work with them in the show. And not just women, but, I mean, I don't know where their stance on LGBT issues are, but WWE has one or two out wrestlers and some other wrestlers who are probably in the closet or at least publicly in the closet but people may know backstage.
Yeah.
It's a difference. Then again, it could also be beneficial to somebody who's trying to get the fuck out of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, in the end of the day, like, you can't lump everybody in.
Yeah.
Like, there's most likely some that's like, yeah, I'm tired of this bullshit. this heavily religious conservative bullshit, and I just want out. And then
yeah.
this wrestling shit's my way out.
Yeah. Well, good on them if that's they're trying to do it for
if
that.
If that's the case.
And if they're just trying to be a wrestler, then I hope that they understand that it's a different culture here, and they're going to have to, and they have to do it. Because, you know, occasionally you hear stories about people who bring in their culture over into our country or Canada or something like that, and it's like, you can't be doing that shit here.
Yeah, you can't pull that shit.
Yeah.
What else? The Broken Lizard guys, they've done multiple segments and videos with WWE superstars to promote their Super Troopers 2 movie. I've heard that it's actually surprisingly good, like Super Troopers 2. So
I haven't seen the first one. I'm probably not gonna see the second.
Yeah, first one was funny as shit. Second one looks pretty good, actually. So I'm gonna check it out.
It looks like the people who like the movies are hyped for it, and I've seen clips of the first movie. It seems all right. But
See, I liked. Okay, so they had because I remember they had that movie. Beerf was really good too. Slammin' Salmon with Michael Clark Duncan. That one was all right. That one was okay. They also had another one. It was a camp, like it was like some type of like slasher flick parody that was okay. But yeah, those guys are pretty good. But the one Indian one, I forgot what his I can't pronounce the last one. He
was in one of the meanest jackass segments in any of the Jackass movies.
Oh really? What segment was
he? Was Taxi Driver one where they were gonna try to pull something on the taxi driver, but he was hired to be the taxi driver.
Yeah,
he went back on him. I forget exactly how it was, but they were gonna do this. It's like because I think in the second one they knew their pranks on each other were getting bad, so they were gonna do one where they had one of their guys pretend to be a terrorist or something.
Oh god!
But they hired him, I believe, from Super Troopers.
Yeah,
they told him what was gonna go on, and they wanted him to turn it on him and pull a gun on him or something.
Oh fuck.
I believe that was a bit in Jackass 2, and I was watching. This is profoundly fucked up.
Oh man, but yeah, him.
I do like some of those Jackass movies. I still can't get over the one where they faked the diamond heist, and that black guy was up and out of there quick.
Yo, black folks know how to run when they need.
The white people were looking around confused. He was down the street.
Yeah.
He came back like, they had to bring him back like, look, man, I was not going to be around here.
Oh, man. But yeah, Jay, he recently had a guest starring appearance in one of the Brooklyn Nine-Nine episodes. And he directs, he actually directs a lot of TV episodes or comedy shows. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, what else do I have here? Oh yeah, you hear about the tattoo issue going on? Because they're saying that.
Oh yeah, I found it. It is Jackass 2. It's called the Terror Taxi. Danger Aaron is lured into a prank where he thinks he's pranking a random cab driver by posing as a terrorist, but the rest of the gang is pranking him by having Chandraskar, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
Play a driver who retaliates against the terrorists. The gang also convinces Aaron to wear a fake beard made out of the group's pubic hair. Yeah, it's horrifying.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure I had all my.
You heard about that new Johnny Knoxville movie, right? You see the trailer for that?
Yeah, vaguely. I was a little annoyed because it's based on a real place, but they're not using the real place.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah, it's called Action Point, but there's a place in New Jersey called Action Park that was notorious for people getting hurt. I've heard about it on a Dollop episode.
Huh. It looks funny, though.
Yeah, it might. I just remember looking at it and I was like, is this supposed to be Action Park? Check out that Dollop and listen to how terrible that park is, because they were saying that, like, how pretty much all the teenagers were a fucking weed and shit. Nice. And they got to the point where there were so many accidents, they just bought ambulances to hang out outside the park.
That's awesome.
Because people were literally getting their heads split open during these fights. They were notorious. A couple people died. Somebody died on a loose wire when voting. One of the water rides broke, and they tried to get out to fix it. And they had like loose wires in the water, and he electrified. And then the action park was like, no, he died of a heart attack. And the coroner's like, no, he wished to death.
What the fuck?
Yeah. what the fuck? But yeah, this was action park was a real place, and it was pretty fucking notorious.
Fucking deadly, son. This shit's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but apparently there was nothing else to do. And for some people, there was nowhere else to get a job. So you worked at Action Park or you get Action Park.
Oh, God.
Got
fucked. You said that was in New Jersey?
Yeah, I'm looking. There's an actual Wikipedia article. It's in Vernon, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that makes
on
sense.
The grounds of Mount Creek Ski Resort. It was founded.
Oh, Jersey? Yeah, Jersey makes sense. Jersey
yeah, makes sense. It officially technically closed in 96, the original one, but I think it's moved in hands. It might be open again. I don't know. But, this stuff. A vast majority of work is at Action Park, at least the ones regularly seen by visitors were teenagers. A security director for the park says he got the job at the age of 21 after having worked at the park for 2 years. His experience was not uncommon. Huh. Most were underage, untrained, often under the influence, and cared little enforcing the park rules and safety requirements.
Wow.
Height and weight-based restrictions were often ignored.
Huh.
Yeah, availability of alcohol on grounds. The park also sold beer in many kiosks on the grounds, with similarly relaxed enforcement of the drinking age, as with other restrictions. Doctors treating the injured were offered that many of them were intoxicated. And apparently, there was the people who were regulatory in it didn't really care for like a good 7-8 years. It wasn't until, I think it says, a drought, tidal wave pool, that they started having more serious regulations.
Ooh.
6 people have died directly. A 19-year-old park when Alpine slide. Oh, yes, the Alpine slide. They talked about that. That was not really much of a water ride. But the guy, he hit his head on a rock and died. That was in 1980. The 15-year-old who drowned in the tidal wave pool. Also that same year, 27-year-old man. The kayak and got electrocuted, I think it was. Yep. 84 of fatal heart attacks suffered by one was unofficially believed to have been triggered by the shock of cold water in the pool of a Tarzan swing. A 20-year-old in Brooklyn drowned in the tidal wave pool, and an 18-year-old drowned in the tidal. They should have closed that fucking tidal wave pool.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's notorious. But wow. Yeah, go listen to that issue episode of The Dollop. The guy he's reading the story to just goes like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. But when I saw the parts of the trail, I'm like, is this supposed to take place at Action Park? Someone listened to that episode and say, let's do this. It's Hollywood, so probably, right?
Yeah.
It's New Jersey. Bam Bam Bigelow should be in the Hall of Fame. Damn.
Anyway, Orton's tattoo artist apparently is suing the WWE and 2K. Reason being is because she believes that, I guess she owns the copyrights to his tattoos, so anytime...
To whose tattoos?
Orton. Randy Orton. So anytime that he... Basically, anytime that his likeness is put on anything, she should cut the profits, basically.
Okay, this is where copyright law gets a little confusing. Technically, if she makes art, she owns the copyright to it.
Right.
So this gets a little weird. If it's tattooed on somebody, does that mean she has copyright or partial copyright? I don't. This is a very bizarre gray area.
See,
because there's like a kind of a comic book related thing. Like if you create your own, like if you draw something for Marvel or DC, you technically own that page of art. But yeah. Marvel, DC, they own the trademarks and copyright, so they can publish it themselves.
Right.
So you are owed the art. They make the money, essentially. You own whatever page you drew for hundreds of $1,000, and Marvel and DC can't really do shit about it. But you can't reproduce that art for your own comic book.
So, but by that logic, she shouldn't be asking 2K for the profits, though.
Yeah, that I can definitely see that 2K probably wouldn't work. This is definitely something that, you know, if she gets herself a sly lawyer, she could probably get it off.
Yeah, and then there's the slippery slope. Then if their likeness is put on different merchandise, then does she get a cut of the merchandise as well? Because that's basically the same thing.
Yeah,
so that's
WWE's.
That's excessively.
Like, yeah, this is a strange case, and I got to be surprised. And I'll be honest with you, I would never have thought to sue for that. And her being the first one means that
apparently she isn't the first one, because 2K has been sued by numerous tattoo artists over, I think, their NBA 2K games, because like NBA like players, a lot of them are tatted up.
Yeah,
so a lot of these tattoo artists have caught wind of trying to get a payday off that shit. So that's basically what he's been battling for the past few years now. You know,
that's a very interesting thing, because it is mostly original art on Orton.
Right.
So, I mean, because whenever when a wrestler has a tattoo with a known symbol, like with CM Punk, or I guess even Braun Strowman coming up with the Superman tattoo,
yeah,
they'll just alter it out for something else.
Alter it out, yeah. Or just leave like all together.
Yeah. So yeah. This is a very odd situation to be in, and it is a very slippery slope. I don't think most tattoo artists probably don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, like, yeah, I don't want to get into this session. I don't know where the shit this is going.
No,
this
because, like, it's like, crazy. I caught wind of it earlier, and I was like, yeah, I just feel like, again, it's a slippery slope. Because, like, next thing you know, like, all these tattoo artists are going to, like, try to catch a payday off of this shit. Merchandise, video games, etc., and then the you know who's gonna get hurt? It's not gonna be 2K or WWE. It's gonna be the athletes and the superstars, they're just gonna pay them less. What?
I also think they could hurt tattoo artists
if they're gonna sue and all these athletes and superstars are getting pay cuts because of their tattoos, then they're not going to want to... Nobody's going to do business with a tattoo artist who's trying to make money grab like that.
Yeah. I think one way to stop would be to stop this is to have tattoo parlors lay down rules about that.
Right.
The popular tattoo parlors that let tattoo artists work. Could be one of the things, but yeah, this is. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of tattoo artists who don't want this to go through, because they know how much it'll affect their business.
That will affect business because, like, no, like people besides, yeah, nobody will want to get tattooed by people who are just going to screw them after the fact. You know, plain and simple. Like, I have tattoos myself because, like what I feel is on my body should be mine, right? But
yeah,
you know, like I paid you for once. I've paid you for that service. That shit is mine, you know.
Like, yeah, the only way they should be they can so much as use that artwork ever again is if they just use that tattoo for someone else,
exactly,
or
shit,
or use that tattoo to advertise or put that picture online.
Right.
So after it's on your body, it should essentially be yours.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure that sooner or later someone's going to make an official bit, and this is going to get worked out somehow.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a president sent.
Yeah. Yep, there will be. After that, apparently Tyrus is no longer with Impact Wrestling. He addressed it on his Instagram and basically said that despite changes, the company hasn't really grown and he differs from them creatively. He appears on Fox News every now and then. I think he's part of that one segment show. I forgot. I think it's called The Four or The Five or something like that. I don't fuck. But he's usually a fairly moderate voice on that. So he still has some of that money. He could take some indie bookings, I guess. But get him in his future endeavors. Yeah, Tyrus. And I heard he did decent work for them, because I remember he would do decent work when he was, dealing with, EC3 and, Rockstar Spud and stuff. So, I don't know. Yeah. And then the last bit of news I have is Ric Flair. He appeared on the Jimmy Fallon show with Metro Boomin and Offset, where Offset performed the Ric Flair Drip song, and they made sure that they set the stage as a wrestling ring. Offset had one of Ric Flair's robes. Of course, Ric Flair had to get in the ring too, and then do his little jig and shit like that, and he had his one of the classic red robes on, and he cut a little bit of a promo, and that was really interesting. And then after that, he took pics with Offset, Metro Boomin, Cardi B, and all that shit like that. So that was really, really cool, really cool stuff.
Well, I'm glad Ric Flair's having fun too.
Yeah, man, because that man almost fucking died.
Yeah.
To be able to be near death, come back to life, and have all this nice shit going for, really cool. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got for news. That was a lot of shit.
I guess post WrestleMania is a news dump.
Yeah, it's a news dump. So newsworthy that we've ran over 2 fucking hours.
Yeah. Because we didn't have any shows to really review.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm ready to get off and maybe watch Legion from last night.
Oh shit! Yeah, I forgot about that. Damn. Yeah, that shit is tricky as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I got shows tonight. Got Riverdale and Krypton.
Yes. Tonight. Oh, I haven't seen Krypton since past the first episode.
I'm liking it. It's interesting to see where they're going to go with, what's that fool's name is in it, though? One black dude who was in, I want to say he was in Spartacus and a few other things. Okay. Might be getting my black dudes mixed up with accents. I think he was definitely in the first Resident Evil movie. He was the commander dude.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, he showed up in the last episode.
Oh,
and I
shit.
Like him.
I remember him in Resident Evil. If it's the guy that Resident Evil you're talking about, I remember he was, I remember the scene where he was doing all those flips and shit and trying to dodge the lasers.
To avoid the lasers, yeah.
And then it turned into a grin. I was like, fuck, you're dead, nigga.
That was racist.
That was so fucked
up. That was racist.
They're like, you dead.
The computer was like, you know what? No.
Yeah,
no.
Son.
No.
You're like, nah, you went out of this.
that was horrifying.
Wow.
I don't want to fuck with no laser grids. I don't want to fuck with no giant sharks. None of that shit.
Yeah, giant sharks. I remember my brother Samuel Jackson
turned on his YouTube and saw the model they're using for May with the giant shark looking at the little girl. He's like, I don't want to see this shit. Fuck this.
God, I remember Deep Blue Sea, that infamous scene where, you think that Samuel Jackson's, going to be, leading this whole movie or whatever, and then, he gives a speech and gets eaten instantly. Oh, man. That scene fucked me up as a kid. When that shark just came out of nowhere and just, started, and just, tore completely, ate him and shit. I was like, what the fuck?
I know it's all shark propaganda to make sharks.
Yeah.
Which, since I already plugged the dollop episode of Action Park, there's the dollop episode about the New Jersey shark attacks, which is the inspiration for Jaws. Oh, yeah. People literally that fucking stupid. Like, they didn't think sharks were dangerous at the time. And the shark, like, literally killed, like, 3 or 4 people. And they kept thinking, well, maybe it was a turtle. Maybe it was a big, you know, fish or something. And they're like, there was a whole bit where somebody saw this, tried to warn the sheriff. And the sheriff was like, yeah, whatever. And I'm listening to this like, God damn it, New Jersey.
Oh, man. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Bam Bam should be in the Hall of Fame.
Dirty, dirty Jersey. Anyway.
Well, I ain't got nothing. Other than the fact I know I got some wrestling I need to catch up on. I need to watch some of these Yoshi shows. But I'm taking a break also because obviously we're going to be hitting Best of the Super Juniors next month.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure I want to jump into anything. But, nope, I ain't got nothing. Not a damn thing. I'm trying to catch up on some reading. I got a lot of fucking books to read. And I recently bought Mystery Inc., the complete Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. series, which I like, the one that was on Cartoon Network a few years ago.
Yeah.
That one's good. So that's all I got. So, yeah, catch me on Twitter, I guess, CM Towns, and on Instagram, Westside period goth. That's it.
All right. Yeah, for me, of course, Rant Ian Radio on Twitter, rantianradio.com, where you can listen to our podcast Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or EDT, I don't know, fucking know. you can also listen to The Rant, Freaks and Effing Geeks, Turbo Throwbacks, Shining Wizards, yada, yada, yada. And listen to past episodes on the Archives tab. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as an PWG's Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And to end this on a high note, hey, 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 smoke weed every day.